Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we highlight great people doing great things. In the studio, I have Martina Edwards, known as the Belle of Wall Street. That's deep. 2001 Tuskegee alum says spending her early years in rural Alabama helped shape her philosophy around success, around access and opportunities. Edwards, who earned a degree in finance, says she always credited Tuskegee for finding its way into her heart. Currently, Edwards serves as a business professional with a wide array of experience across public and private equity, as well as the nonprofit sector. Currently, she manages corporate partnerships as a vice president of the Points of Light Foundation, a global nonprofit organization founded by former Vice President George H.W. Bush. And that organization does a lot of great work. Edwards also serves as the key fundraiser for the Civic Accelerator Program, National Excel and Investment Fund, which is focused on for-profit and nonprofit early stage ventures with innovative solutions to critical social problems. And a whole lot more. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Martina Edwards.
Hello.
Hello, how are you?
I am fantastic. Thank you so much for having me today.
Thank you for being on the show. You are just this walking, wonderful example of success.
Yes.
There you go.
Yes.
Take that. I want you to take it. I want you to own it.
I'll take that. I'll own that. And I want to also say, you know, my current role, I was at Points of Light, is I've spent 4 months now at Access to Capital for Entrepreneurs.
Nice.
Which is a nonprofit organization with a 19-year track record of being a community development loan fund. What we do is simply put, take a chance on individuals and small business in particular, when others can't or won't. So basically, we provide loans from $15,000 up to $1 million to help those folks. So
tremendous.
That is the new walk of life that I'm on right now.
What made you get involved in this line of work?
You know, everything that you were mentioning earlier a little bit and running down some of my bio, just coming from rural upbringing, humble beginnings, and going on to see the stark difference between how I grew up in rural Alabama for 9 years of my life, living in a two-bedroom mobile home, and then transitioning to Montgomery, Alabama, home of civil rights, and then going on to Tuskegee University and then landing on Wall Street, right? And there was a stark difference to the level of affluence that I saw. And I started out working on the floor of the New York Stock Exchange, belly of the beast, the place where money was exchanged and stock was traded. And that was how I first learned about money, capital access. So now if it comes back full circle to me, I look at it and I say, I always thought, how can I bring this back to my community? And what we do at ACE is really provide, try to reduce those barriers to entry. We know trying to get into the industry, trying to start a business is a way to close the wealth gap, to try to build assets. So that's one of the reasons why I do it.
I remember when I was taking my MBA classes, mm-hmm. there was a big emphasis on socially responsible companies. Okay. How does that play into the market you're in now?
Sure. CSR was that term that came out, corporate social responsibility.
Yeah.
A lot of organizations, there's a lot of work, I will say, from foundations to corporations who are trying to get involved and have a conversation around wealth building in particular. A lot of financial services firms, it makes sense for them just for alignment of interest. But also for corporations, my time at Points of Light, you know, individuals were trying to, companies were trying to figure out how can I take my employees and put them into communities where they live and work to try to do good. And really, if you think about when you want to go work for an organization, the culture of where you want to work, you want to make sure that those organizations are doing good things in your community and you can be proud of that.
How much responsibility lies with the community forcing or coercing the conversation of social responsibility through corporate activity?
I think it's a combination of both. I mean, I think if you, for organizations, you hope that they have the leadership in place mm-hmm. that will lead with excellence and think about those things, right? But at the end of the day, we also have to kind of pull ourselves up by our bootstraps You know, I attended Tuskegee University, so Booker T's commentary around that, and figure out how to have our own voice, speak about our own issues, and talk about what's important to us. So it's also community and important for the community. I will say, for a corporation, there are a lot of them who know that it's important to go in and do a community assessment. You can't just come in and think that you can solve the problems if you don't know what the issues are.
Right.
Right. So you have to have a conversation.
And those issues are unique to every community.
Every community, every city, geographies of the U.S. And, you know, in Atlanta, we know it's a tale of two cities. There are people who live in miles apart, but live worlds apart.
Sure.
Based on their zip code.
That's right.
Yeah.
In 2004, you became the only African-American female stock trader on the New York Stock Exchange.
Yes.
What in the hell was that like?
It wasn't a bad thing. I mean, it's in the sense of my experience on the exchange was phenomenal. Again, it was a training ground for me.
Right.
You can't beat the experience that you get on Wall Street, because you can take that and transfer it on later. But what it meant in terms of, I'll take you, the exchange had been around for over 200 years.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance for their 212th anniversary to ring the bell, right? Every day you see people ring the bell, ring the closing bell. Mm-hmm. In 1967, Muriel Siebert was the first woman to purchase a seat for the right to trade.
Okay.
So I tell folks all the time, it wasn't just beyond taking your Series 7 exams and passing all these tests to get in. That allowed me to get to the floor and be an analyst, right, and be a liaison between brokers. But to actually get out in the crowd, be the person making the risk measure decisions, using my voice in an open outcry market, bidding and auctioning for stock, I had to have buy-in. You had to actually pay for that access. So you think about a country club, there's membership access. The seats were trading in 2004 just under $1 million. So who was going to provide that access?
Right.
Merrill Lynch, my boss, saw an opportunity, said, you have the wherewithal to go out here and do this. And it was because of my performance currency and my relationship currency that allowed me to be able to do that. Right. So I've proven myself, gotten promoted from an analyst to an associate, and then had the opportunity to step up and be a broker. And that's something, again, that's a roundtable decision that was made outside of me. Right.
We got more on the other side. 404-892-2703. If you have a question for Martina Edwards, 404-892-2703. You're getting real with the Realest Man on Radio. News and Talk, 1380 WAOK. We are here in the building with greatness, Martina Edwards. She was called the Belle of Wall Street back in 2004. Back in 2004, she became the only African-American female stock trader on the New York Stock Exchange. Martina, thank you for remaining with us.
Thank you.
You are married.
I am.
How long have you been married?
10 years. We celebrate 10 years.
10 years?
May. Yes.
10.
A decade.
Wow. Okay. So let's talk about that. You have this amazing career, I'm sure, and your husband's in the studio. I don't know the brother, but I'm sure he's really, really great and really successful too. So you have to juggle all of this greatness and success in one household. You've done it for 10 years. How do you do it?
Well, you know, you're right. You have to balance being, for me, I'm a wife, I'm a spouse, I'm a mother, I'm a daughter, sister, all of those things. And then I have my own career and I have my own goals. So we have to balance between making sacrifices for each other and realizing that this in itself is a partnership. My husband and I are both actually from Montgomery, Alabama. So we've known each other for a long time.
What is that like?
I've seen.
And when I say that, well, Alabama, what is Alabama like? I've heard stories.
Alabama's good. I mean, it's good. It's a little bit different sometimes, but it's definitely, for me, it was good. I came, again, 9 years, rural upbringing, saw my mom was one of 16 kids. My dad was the oldest of six. So I came from this village type environment where it was all about looking out for the other person and putting your best foot forward and working hard. So I think my husband and I embody those same values. You know, we have two young boys and we try to instill those same things in them. And we look at life and he says all the time, life is long. Mm-hmm. And what that means ultimately is where you are today, it seems like it's a big deal, but when you think about it, when you're 80, what does your 80-year-old self tell your 40-year-old self or your 30-year-old self?
That's right.
And we like to really compartmentalize things in that way, and then that allows us to move forward with, you know, good decision-making after that.
What's next for you?
For me, there's a lot of things going on, but trying to do a really great job at ACE, Access to Capital for Entrepreneurs, but on a personal side, still trying to think about how I can continue to share my journey, you know, about what I've done and how your circumstances don't have to dictate your outcomes at the end of the day. And to remind people, if I could, you know, leave a few takeaways, is to being working in on the Florida New York Stock Exchange, going to work in private equity and helping individuals to get into that industry, and now being in the nonprofit sector, is to have an equity mindset. It was always about ownership, right? Equity is about ownership. So what can you own? Invest in yourself. The other piece would be, again, your performance currency has to be in place. I think to be a check at a box, but once you have that, your relationship currency comes behind that. And those things can take you very far. And at the end of the day, have faith over fear and own your greatness.
Something I tell my college students, I talk about the IQ assessment and the EQ assessment, mm-hmm. and how your IQ, your intellectual quotient, is very important in academic settings, but it is of little importance outside. Your emotional quotient, your ability to connect emotionally and create relationships, matters when you're outside of this classroom more so than your ability to retain simple book knowledge.
You're absolutely right in that. And what we do, I tell folks that at ACE, what we do is provide capital coaching and connections. And it's so important, beyond just giving people funding for a business, but actually giving them the tools that they need, right? So they need the human capital, the social capital, and the resource capital to be able to effectively move forward and scale their businesses.
Let's talk about the word equity, mm-hmm. because I think some people are confused on it sometimes. We had a real push from the 60s and beyond as a political movement for equality, right? And the way I break down the difference between equity and equality is like this. If you're playing a football game and everyone on the field, they understand the rules, and the referees are even somewhat fair, and you have observers watching to make sure things are fair, and you're told as long as you play hard and get more points than the other person or the other team, you will win this game. You get to the fourth quarter, you're ahead by 14. And you realize when there's 1 second left to play, the opponent or the opposite team inherited 100 points. There is no equity there for you. You cannot compete in that system.
Mm-hmm. No. That's it. I mean, there are conversations. That's a really great analogy. I liken it to going up to bat and being able to get the pitch. That's one thing. Mm-hmm. But how do we ensure that you can get on base and start to hit a home run?
That's right.
Equity is a serious issue of concern, like I said, here in Atlanta, in terms of just trying to level the playing field. We have uneven progress. There was a report that came out just last week that Annie E. Casey did, talking about everything from housing to education to mm-hmm. affordability.
And Annie Casey is a nonprofit. They deal with housing.
Yeah. Exactly, a nonprofit foundation. It's a foundation mm-hmm. that actually grants out funding to support some of these different initiatives. So it is true. It's a true concern, and I definitely think that we have to really be laser focused on it. You asked me something earlier about, is it the corporation's role or the community's role? Mm-hmm. And it's everybody's role, because it's a human issue. We're all stakeholders around this.
When is the book coming?
So
I need to put a date on it, because people need to hear this. Men, women, as soon as you write it, I want to know. My big homie is going to let me know so I can buy it. I want this book. When is it coming?
So goal setting. It sounds like I need to put
right,
a timeline on to hold myself accountable. So let's say, where are we now? 2019.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
End of 2020.
The
maybe
end of
sooner,
2020.
Maybe sooner.
No, don't clap for that, young Julian. No, that's too long, man. Well, sister, I got to tell you, you have an open door here on the program. Anytime you want to come and chop it up about equity or things we need to understand in the financial market, just give us a call.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your platform.
I appreciate
continue
you
doing what you're doing.
Thank you. Proud of you. How can people follow you on social media?
Martina M. Edwards. All of my handles that way. Twitter.
Nice. All right. Good stuff. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.